Whether you're in your smart car avoiding Hummers or you're in your house avoiding the J-Dubs, there's no avoiding us, The Drew Marshall Show, live through our website and right here on Joy 1250.
Well, Humanist Canada has been getting a lot of media coverage here in Toronto because, in different places around Canada, because the recent public transit advertising campaign, signs saying you can be good without God have been posted at different places, and that, of course, the media has picked up on that. But Pat also produced a documentary entitled Without God, The Story of Secular Humanism, an in-depth look at secular humanism in Canada. He's mostly avoided by Christian media, but he joins us today to share his side of the story and the facts behind secular humanism. Pat O'Brien, welcome to the show.
Drew, it's a pleasure to be here.
You have probably been confused with other Pat O'Briens throughout your life, have you?
I have, most notably the sportscaster who's been known to be caught with women of disreputable repute and certain drug substances. I try to distance myself from that.
Good for you. That might be a wise move to do so. All right, so
what's
been going on lately? The media has hunkered down into the Humanist Canada stuff and saying, whoa, what are you guys all about and what are these posters all about? How's it been going for you?
Well, it's been going pretty good in terms of getting a lot of media attention. Our intention was to get attention through the ads, and it seems that the refusal of the ads is getting more attention than the ads themselves. Our putting the ads out there was the same as pretty much anybody else who advertises, and that's to bring attention to our association and the fact that there's a place where people who have secular values and people who don't believe in God can go to do a lot of things, not only, get companionship and have a sense of community with other people of like mind, but a place where they can go and maybe donate some money and help us, fight for separation of church and state and fight for secular values and things that I think are important to all Canadians, including religious Canadians.
Yeah, and I think I'm on the same side. I really am. I mean, I'm on a different side from a, Jesus point of view, but I'm on the same side with where you guys are at. As a matter of fact, did New Brunswick say no to this stuff? What was somebody, some of the noobs out there, didn't they?
Yeah, Halifax said no.
Halifax.
And,
and
Vancouver said no also.
Oh, so both ends of the country.
Yeah, exactly. And for slightly different reasons in both cases.
What were the reasons?
Well, in Halifax's case, they said it's because they didn't want to put advertising on buses that, I believe the quote was, that might offend their riders, or that might cause them some kind of, pain or suffering. It's like they're set up as the moral police protecting people against the evil atheists. Which is pretty silly. I mean, if a Christian can't look at an ad suggesting that maybe there's another way of looking at things, then maybe they should look at their own way of looking at the world.
Yeah.
I know you don't have a problem with it, but and I don't think most other people do.
Yeah, but you said the transit authority said that we can't do this because it might offend. But was there a Jesus group that were outraged at this whole campaign?
Oh, sure, yeah. There have been a lot of, quote-unquote Jesus groups that have been opposed to it, and they're very vocal. They've written letters to editors and to the Transit Authority and the local, particularly in Ottawa, to the local city council, because they had a vote in city council to decide whether or not they were going to allow them in Ottawa. That's another campaign that's parallel to ours. And so there was a lot of tension at a political level there. In Vancouver, it's an interesting story here because there are two groups that get to make the decision. There's the Transit Authority, which is appointed by politicians and therefore answerable to the people. And then there's the advertising company, Lamar Advertising, which also has a say in what gets to go on the, on transit in Vancouver. So it's a bit muddier here in terms of who's actually making the decisions, but the decision is based on their guidelines, which say you can't have any advertising that opposes any religion, theology, or ideology, or that supports any religion, theology, or ideology. And I said, well, we don't fit into that category, so we're appealing it, and we're going to appear, I think, at the end of this month, if they let us. Appeal the decision here in Vancouver.
Do you know specifically any group, any Jesus group, that has officially opposed? I want their name, address, and phone number.
Bishop Fred Henry. You can Google him. He's all over the place. He opposes us in Calgary.
And what about from the evangelical scene?
There was a debate recently between Justin Trottier, who is part of the other bus campaign, the atheist bus campaign, and Charles McVetti.
Oh, I knew Charles would be on there.
Well, of course, of course. It hasn't been a what I would call an organized effort on the part of any religious groups. I can tell you that the United Church is in favor of the ads.
Well, yeah, but did they come out with their own ad campaign that had a slight tweak on it?
Exactly, and you know what? Good for them. I mean, they're taking it for what it is. It's you know, it's stick in the mick, as they say in England, and
yeah.
it's just let's have a conversation, for goodness sake. Let's not bury it.
Yeah, I'm all over this. I mean, when I was in I think I told you this on the phone when we were chatting. I was in Scotland when was it? I guess it was October. And while I was waiting in the airport, I was reading through one of their local rags. The story was out there. Edinburgh was going to have these buses with the atheist stuff on it, right? Dawkins, he put up a bunch of money for it. And there's probably no God, so enjoy your life or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And there's a big, you know, uproar about it. Should it be or shouldn't it be? And then all of a sudden it's happening over here. So really, this news is very yesterday, number one. And number two, anything that creates dialogue about God, whether it's for or against, how could you be against that if you're a God person?
Well, you know what I think? It's a good question, because I think whenever I discuss, you know, religion with people, and you know, let me preface this by saying that humanism isn't about changing people's minds. We don't want God people to become humanists necessarily. I mean, if you're happy with that, then that's great. We're not trying to change you. It's hard to find. Maybe you're an exception, but you know, religious people, Christians, they say, you know, we're very content. We're happy people. Well, the fact is, they're not happy. They're not happy until I believe what they believe too. So I say to them, hey, listen, this isn't about trying to change minds. This is about trying to find that 20 to 25% of Canadians who have already decided they don't believe in God, and trying to get them into the boat, because right now they're kind of out there wandering around thinking, oh, Jesus, just me, you know. They go to work and they see all the symbols and they think, I don't want to say anything. Well, you know what? It's okay. It's on the buses. It's out in the public, and don't worry about it. Don't, as the saying says, you know, enjoy your life. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and I think when Jesus people are witnessing or sharing about Jesus with other people, one of the arguments, the standby, statements is, without this moral code in my life, I would be a really horny jerk. That's what I hear a lot of, and they don't say it as crass as that, obviously, but, you know, I would be immoral, and I would just be enjoying sex all over the place, and I'd smoke drugs, and, I don't know, whatever. That's kind of the balancing act that they do in their witnessing stuff.
It's a pretty stunning admission of their character, isn't it?
Well, but I have
that to... Without God, that they would just be wanton criminals. I mean, what does that say about a person without, you know, it's not even just that. It's the fact that without this idea that there's some kind of eternal damnation at the end of it. I mean, what they're saying is, if I didn't think that I was going to be punished for eternity,
yeah,
then I would be doing all this other stuff, which suggests that the only reason that they're good is to get some kind of marks and some kind of big balance sheet in the sky.
I mean, I know.
Be good for goodness sakes. You don't need to have... to have some kind of reward at the end of it. Do you? I mean, you know, I give blood. Why do I give blood? I don't give blood to curry favor with Jesus. I give blood because I hope that at some point somebody else will give it, and if I need it, it'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, we're all in this together. We can't be looking at something that we can't even imagine is true or not. As the basis for doing good. It makes sense.
Well, as much as we just had a good chuckle about that, Pat, this is hard for me to admit. And I don't think, you know, I stopped verbalizing it, but if I had a good hard look at my own deceptive and deceitful and selfish heart, I really do need a moral compass in my life, because I suck at trying to be moral. I really do. I mean, I've been doing the Jesus thing for 25 years plus, and I don't know, maybe I'm just blinded to the fact that, oh, maybe I would have some morality if I grew up without Jesus, because I've been leaning on the God stuff for so long that it has given me quite an introspective dose of reality when I look at my own stinking selfishness. I mean, here I am, a Jesus guy, and I still have a lot of struggles, man. A lot of struggles.
Yeah, leaning, you know, that suggests the whole crutch thing, right? I mean, and yeah. I don't want to go there because I know that's, you know, that can be offensive. But
no,
you know what, Drew?
I got a crutch, and his name is Jesus.
Whatever
that sounds like a country song or something.
Whatever gets you through the day. Whatever gets you through the day, you know, I mean, that's what we're all about. And as long as you're not bothering anybody else with it, as long as you're not insisting that the rest of us, come up to your standard, then, hey, you know, whatever works for you is fine. You can't, I just think it's too bad that, you know, I can tell you my own story. I was raised as a Catholic, and I wasn't a perfect person either when I was a Catholic.
I've heard that about you, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what am I going to do? But you know what? As I continued to make my journey towards atheism and then eventually humanism, I found myself becoming a better person because I didn't have that fallback position of, well, I can just repent my sins and then it'll all be okay. I actually realized that I'm responsible for myself and to other people. And, you know, there's this idea, the sort of the basis of Christianity, correct me if I'm wrong, but the basis of Christianity is this idea of redemption, that Jesus died for your sins. I got to tell you, I think that's a bit of an immoral position. The idea that you slough off your responsibility onto a person, not just that you slough off the responsibility onto another person, but you do it by a horrible torture and execution of an innocent young preacher who is a bit eccentric. I mean, you're a bit of an eccentric right now, Drew. Imagine if you were captured by the authorities and put on trial at some kangaroo court and you were going to be executed. I would defend you. I wouldn't let you go to the gallows for that. And I think if I was alive 2,000 years ago, and if you were alive 2,000 years ago, you would have been there defending Jesus. You would have said, no, Pontius Pilate, you know, all the rest of you got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just don't see how this vicarious redemption through the torture and execution of an innocent man is a good thing.
Well, I think we do need to be careful as Jesus people, because we're known to offload responsibility.
Yeah.
What you're saying is a good wake-up call to many folks out there. You know, you got to own your own stuff. You really do.
Exactly.
And to shirk responsibility, whether it be moral or any other kind, is just ridiculous. So.
And to get back to your question about having that moral compass, if you go to our website, humanistcanada.com, there's the principles of humanism, and the nice thing about the principles of humanism is that they're principles. They're not carved in stone. They change as we learn new things, and I think you'll find that those principles. Except for the part about not believing in God, I think just about anybody can buy into. There's nothing there that, there's no dogma, there's nothing that says anything bad about women or about blasphemers or gays or anybody else. It says that you're responsible for your own life and that the best way to find the truth about things is the scientific method. Scientific method doesn't have all the answers, and they admit that.
Pat, I'm sure you've been asked this by Jesus people before, but it is something that I mull over every once in a while, and it's the whole, okay, if you're not using this sort of Judeo-Christian Bible as a moral compass or moral code, then how do you define what's right or wrong? Do you simply go by the laws of the land? And then what if something isn't covered by the laws of the land? You know, what's... In other words, do you have children, Pat?
I have a stepdaughter.
Okay, so, you know, when we have our kids, you know, I see people come back to the faith and they go, I'd like my kids to have a little bit of religion in their life because this is going to back up a moral parenting thing that I got to try to do here.
You know, Jennifer, my stepdaughter, she wasn't raised in any kind of faith at all. Both her natural father, her mother, and myself, we all kind of raised her together in a way. And all of her friends who also have no faith, she was raised in Emily. She has no religious baggage whatsoever from when she was a child. And when she was 9 years old, people used to come up to us and say, your daughter, she's so well behaved. She's such a good girl. I mean, I don't see where the moral code in Christianity or any other religion necessarily will make you a better person. In fact, there's lots of things in that old Bible that, you know, the warrants for slavery and murder and abuse and all kinds of things are there as well. So, you know, you got to take the good with the bad in that case. When you bring up somebody in to be a humanist, there's no room for any of that stuff. There's no room for getting on other people who don't agree with you. You just agree to disagree and move on.
So how do you battle your own selfishness? Because scenarios come into life and you have those wake-up calls where you sort of look at yourself in the mirror some days and you go, man, I am a selfish jerk. And it feels icky. I should change that. Or maybe you don't have those icky feelings. There's a good technical term for you, by the way. That's Hebrew, I think.
Icky?
Yeah,
icky. Yeah, that's. I think it goes back to the Greek. My wife's Greek, so as far as she's concerned, everything has to do with the Greeks. You know what I do? If I feel that I've been selfish or icky or something, then probably it's affected somebody else, or it's affected some aspect of my life. And then I go to that person, or I go to that aspect of my life, and I make good with it. Or to the person. I don't bend down on my knees and ask forgiveness from something that I don't even think exists. I don't think that's necessary. It goes back to the responsibility thing. If I've hurt somebody, I go to them. I don't go to somebody else.
Indeed, I think you should ask forgiveness from the entire country for the work you did on the beachcombers, actually.
Hey, you know what? I have to defend the beachcombers, okay? The most popular show, maybe not in Canada, but in the rest of the world. Thank you for bringing that up, by the way. You know, the Beachcombers, they called it the best film school in Canada, and it's true. Most of the great film technicians in this city originally came from there, at least if you go back to the 70s and 80s.
Wow. Well, you certainly moved up through the ranks, didn't you? MacGyver, The Highlander,
yeah,
Outer Limits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well done.
I had my own production company for a while, produced some documentaries, which I'm very proud of. You know, we've done a lot of good there. I'm back being a prop master now, which is kind of fun. I'm enjoying that.
Good,
so,
good.
And working for Humanist Canada, it's given me made a lot of great friends and opened my eyes to a lot of things. And you know what else? It means I can have a conversation with people like you.
You know something? Oh, thank you. By the way, I just realized that was a compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was driving down somewhere the other day, and I got a phone where you can talk in and leave your thoughts in a message, a memo thing or whatever there. And I listened to it the other day, and I thought, oh, that was a good one. So I'm going to share this with you, and you tell me if it was a good one or not.
Okay.
One of the things I like about the Jesus scene is it gives you that boost and confidence and helps you as a person power up and survive. I mean, let's face it, the best of times, this world can be a real garbage pit.
Uh-huh.
So to rise up, it gives you that empowerment. Without the selfish narcissism of Oprah-isms. And then once you're empowered and ready to go, you know, all what God says about you, you know, you are this, you are not that, don't believe the lies, I made you, therefore I'm special, blah, 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 blah. Okay, good. Now, the balancing act, though, so you don't sit there and wallow in narcissism, as I said earlier, is the other side of it is, okay, now you're fixed, you're empowered, you're ready to go, now lay your life down for everyone else, because it's not about you, buddy. Great balancing act. That's why I love the Jesus scene.
Lay your life down for everyone else. I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, it's not about you, because if I kept hunkering down into, it's all about how
right,
I feel. It's all about me getting fixed. It's about me feeling good, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, good. Okay. Once I'm fixed and I'm empowered and I've watched 37 episodes of Oprah, okay, now what? Well, it's not about you, buddy. So it's about those around you. So it's about serving others. Yeah, I think it's a good balance in the Jesus scene.
Well, but you know what? I don't see that enough in the Jesus scene.
Oh, well, yeah, that would be two of us.
You're the exception to the rule. You may be the exception that proves the rule.
Hold on, no, I'm not saying I do it. I'm just saying I understand the philosophy.
Okay, all right, fair enough. You know what? Here's the thing. When you strip away all the baggage, you know, and then you do a good job of stripping away the baggage of the whole Jesus thing, and I appreciate that. But once you strip it all away, and in fact, once you go to these ecumenical conferences where everybody, you know, Jewish people and Muslim people and Christians, and they all get together and they strip away all their baggage and they get down to what's important for all of us, you know what you're left with? Humanism.
Hmm.
I
think you're right. I think you're actually right on there, which is why some people rage against ecumenism.
Yeah, well, sure. We don't look at ourselves as the competition, because, like I say, we're not evangelicals. We don't go around trying to change people's minds. But really, we're a pretty good alternative.
All right. So here you go. You've got 3 minutes to sell the Jesus people who are listening to this show, to sell them humanism. I know it's not your job. It's not your mandate to take Jesus people and turn them into humanists, and that's not what you're all about. What I want people to understand is humanism from a humanist. I don't want them to read a book that a Jesus guy wrote about humanism. I want them to hear from the president of Humanist Canada what you guys are all about. Knock yourself out.
Okay, well, here it is. Here's humanism on a T-shirt. And I'm gonna read this because, you know, a lot of people way smarter than me have written a lot of stuff about this. It's humanism. It's a rational philosophy informed by science, inspired by art and motivated by compassion. What it says is it affirms the dignity of every human being, no matter who you are, no matter what you believe.
That should be Christianity.
Well, it should be, but apparently you're having a hard time with it. The other thing that we advocate is that we are not apart from, well, we are a part of nature. And it's up to us to leave the planet in a good space for our children, and in the meantime, understand that we're part of a whole living organism here. We're not some special creation. We're part of an evolved process that got us to the point where we have brains big enough that we can all wipe it all out. So we better get on board and understand that we all have the same basic needs and wants. And if we don't all just get together and decide what we have in common and work towards that, we're screwed.
So it sounds like you are the nice sect of atheism. Because you're certainly not an arrogant jerk like Dawkins.
Dawkins is not an arrogant jerk. Dawkins is portrayed as an arrogant jerk by the Jesus people.
No. I've seen him interviewed on a number of interviews, and it had nothing to do with Jesus people. It's a secular media.
You know what? I've met Richard Dawkins on a couple of occasions.
Hey, and, so does he have a different persona on and off camera?
No. But I can tell you this. He is a scientist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's a great communicator, I think. I really do. And I agree with a lot of what he says. But you know what? And this is going to be hard for you to believe, but I think you know people who are like this. He's a shy person. He's not the warm, fuzzy guy. He's kind of introverted a little bit. So when he gets into those positions where he has to defend what he's talking about, and he's very confident in himself, I think he maybe just comes across as being arrogant and strident, when in fact what he's doing is he's arguing against the arrogance of people who say, I have a personal relationship with the creator of the universe. But Richard Dawkins is arrogant? I mean, you know, there's his argument in a nutshell, really.
Yeah. Maybe it's Hitchens I was thinking of. Who's the British guy?
They're both British.
Oh, yeah.
Hitchens is now an American citizen.
Good question, Drew.
Hitchens, I like also. I mean, he's more.
Maybe it's just because they're British. It's the accent that makes them sound arrogant. That's what it is.
Well, and they both come from Oxford, and, you know, there's all that going on. So, you know, and they're academics. You know, a lot of what they say, I mean, when I read Christopher Hitchens, and I'm a pretty well-read guy, I need a dictionary next to me.
Yeah.
So it's not easy reading a lot of it. So I think that maybe puts people off a little bit, you know. And the fact is that these are big questions that they're trying to answer. So they don't have simplistic answers. And I think that puts some people off, particularly people who are used to simplistic answers like God did it.
I wish you the best with your You Can Be Good Without God campaign.
Well, thank you.
I love it. I think it's getting people thinking and talking, and instead of what the Jesus scene sometimes does, the whole shoving the head in the sand thing. Engage.
Well, and I wish you luck with trying to get more Christians to be Christians.
Wow. That's okay. I don't want that responsibility. I'll leave that on God's plate.
You're taking it. You made your bed.
Crap.
Yeah.
Pat O'Brien, president of Humanist Canada. The website is humanistcanada.com. Pretty easy. Humanistcanada.com. Some great reading there on the site, folks. And the God I believe in, I don't get nervous about reading stuff like that. I'm not that insecure with the God that I choose to follow. So, Pat, I appreciate your time.
I appreciate your time.
All right. We'll
Thank
talk again,
much.
I hope. Yeah. Thanks, mate.
I hope so.
Fine.
Bye-bye.
Pat O'Brien from the Humanist Canada gang there. All right, here we go with our short break, as we are apt to do. When we come back, it's our journey segment. We're going to talk with a Christian woman in her 50s who's never been married. I'm sorry to set it up like that, but here's the deal. She is an author, a business owner, professional business planner, world traveler, certified personal trainer, athlete, very good looking, very accomplished, and single. You know why she's single? Because there ain't much out there. So we're going to find out what single women want in a man. Because I think, Tim, maybe during the break we can look this up. Is it International Women's Day today?
I will check that out.
Can you check that out?
Because
I thought I heard that on the radio. So,
well, as a man, you probably just completely ignored it.
I ignored it. I just heard wah, wah, wah. That's what's happening when we come back. And then, I don't know, we'll lighten up the show near the end of it. Have something to chuckle and laugh about. You can call in and abuse me if you'd like, or rattle on about whatever.
Please do that.
We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the show that talks about stuff the others can't, don't, or won't. The Drew Marshall Show on Joy 1250.